Hello, my name is Amida Ali, and I'm a fourth-year GP registrar with the Irish College of General Practitioners. So I've written an essay which I'd like to share with you all. It's called My Loss. May the radiance and beauty of their lives never be defined by their death. Suicide. The act of intentionally ending one's life. The ripple effect. Affects not only the victim, but it affects all. It leaves no one unscathed. Suicide does not take away the pain, it gives it to someone else. Does one ever truly get over a suicide loss? Suicide is the leading cause of death, particularly in young people, both in Ireland and worldwide. An estimated 1 million people die by suicide each year. However, attempted suicides are much more common than actual suicides. Approximately 12,000 people attempt suicide each year in Ireland. The whirlwind of events started during my journey to work. I started my daily rituals, the key in the ignition, ready to go, ready to even make a small difference in one person's life. I methodologically hummed a small prayer under my breath, hoping and praying to do no harm. I unapologetically crossed my fingers and even my toes, knowing deep within that superstitions follow us everywhere. I continued to drive. I arrived at my practice and started my computer. One of our receptionists rushed into the room with a frantic expression. "Amida, you need to have a look at this." She was talking, passing on the patient details. The name sounded so familiar, but yet a distant memory. I was trying to picture the patient and reignite my memory. I felt totally clueless. I had no idea whom she was talking about. She then continued to describe what had happened, and I remember just seeing her mouth move, but not hearing what was being said. "Okay, don't worry, I will deal with this." I turned and shut the door. Close the door, the easiest way to shut the world out. In my mind, I registered a lesson for myself. Never underestimate the ways of body language, which are an artistic writing tool. I prepared my doctor's bag, unsure of what I should take to handle the situation. I called through to our practice nurse, hoping that she would join me for moral support. She was pregnant, and I felt selfish asking her to join me, but she was more than happy to come and assist. I let out a big sigh of relief. We arrived at the lake, the still water so calm, rays of sunshine slowly touching the cool water. An eerie sense of peace, of calm. Yellow tape surrounding the tall trees. I ducked under the tape, tightly gripping my pristine dark brown doctor's bag. 70-year-old female found in the lake a few hours ago by her son-in-law. The daughter had noticed that her mother was missing from her bed around 4 a.m. and had gone out to search for her. I assumed that this was my patient's last ever stroll. Her last stroll out into the wilderness where she did not want to be found. The Gardaí had a body bag ready for me and slowly unzipped the plastic bag. Yes, that was her. That was my patient. Mrs. Margaret Riley, a petite woman whose brown hair, usually so neatly combed, was now ruffled. Her eyes wide open. On her left hand, her watch, her clock hands had stopped. Time had stopped for her. She was wearing her usual deep purple coat, thick enough to keep her warm, but not thick enough to protect her from ending her own life. Underneath her purple coat, a beautifully made cardigan, which she had probably knitted herself. I remembered how she had come to see me about her dry eyes, and I was taken back how our conversations led to her passion about knitting jumpers. Can conversations change lives? What was a warm, sunny day now started to feel very cold. Maybe if I spoke my findings aloud, it would confirm the reality of finding my patient. A verbal assessment was made. On general inspection, pale and wet, with no obvious signs of life. No respiratory effort noted. No response to verbal stimuli. No response to painful stimuli. No carotid pulse palpable. Pupils fixed and dilated bilaterally. No heartbeat or breathing sounds noted during 3 minutes of auscultation. There was a long pause. Death confirmed at 10:15 a.m. We zipped up the bag. And all that remained were memories slipping through the frail hands of time. That was it. My first death certification in the community. When we were on call in the hospital, we were usually certifying the deaths of patients we personally didn't know. Patients with whom we hadn't developed a bond. This time, this was different. A suicidal death. A meaningful experience. As a general practitioner, I was her doctor and she was my patient. I was to advocate for her physical and mental health. I was her advocate, and my goal was to look out for her best interests. The core to being a general practitioner. But look at how I had failed her. Subsequently, I found myself questioning, why was I not able to identify her problem before it got worse? Why hadn't I been able to recognize her hopelessness, her demoralization, her desire for a hastened death? Another lesson noted, one good conversation can change the direction of change forever. I hopelessly looked around to catch a glance at her family, so I could offer my condolences. They were nowhere to be found. I could not express my sorrow for their loss. I could not convey my message and tell them that they were not alone in their grief. I rushed back to the surgery in the knowledge that I had patients waiting, eagerly waiting for their problems to be solved. I saw the next patient, and then the next. There was no stopping me. The best way to deal with grief is to work hard, and even harder, and to keep going, or so I thought. No time for housekeeping. We keep constantly trying to put out the fires, trying to douse the fire with sprinkles of holy water. Last patient of morning surgery. A tall young man, 18 years of age, entered with his mother. During this consultation, with each word, the sentences became heavier and heavier. He explained how his presence had no meaning and that his absence will not make a difference. He voiced his suicidal ideation and how he had carefully prepared his manual for dying. He explained how he had saved up his Eurosense to pay for his funeral so he would not be a burden for his family. His eyes were missing the shine. I was pondering that for him to feel like this, what had he lost this time? Sitting in front of me, his mother began to wilt. I was a mere bystander witnessing the deep abyss of his mother's heart, witnessing what true strength looked like. I paused for a moment and reflected on the fact of encountering a suicide that very same morning and now having the ability to potentially prevent another suicide. Do I dare to reach my hand out into the darkness? To pull another hand into the light? Bad days give us experience and lessons. For the next few days, I kept thinking about this life lesson, and at times I had felt waves raging inside of me, and wondering how long do I wait for all this to fade? A few thoughts which were going through my mind. Aware, appreciation, bereave, care, comfort, cultivate. Death, empathy, fear. Grief, guide, hand, help, insight, journey. Kindle, kindness. Lament, mother, near, open, pity. Quiver, rise, soul, self-destruct, service, tenacious, unfair. Value, voice, worry, warmth, well-being. I was telling myself to be patient, that growth is tender, the ground is heavy, and this will take time. May we as general practitioners become the voice of our patients, who are disheartened, discouraged, depressed, and deceased? Can we as general practitioners look for places to put our pain? Do we reach a stage where our well-earned resilience is tested? No one ever told me that grief can very much feel like fear. At the risk of sounding cliche, I have learned that we need to empower our patients to voice their thoughts. We need to listen to our patients and support them through whatever they may be going through. What an honor and immense privilege it is for us general practitioners to be trusted and welcomed into our patient circle. Going forward, I vow that I will hold my patients' words ever so gently, so that when they hand over their heart to me through words, I will understand that they have been through a lot. The quieter I become, the more I will hear. Having experienced this, I now have learned that as a general practitioner, we also need to look after ourselves after events such as a suicide in the practice. Does that sound selfish and egotistical? No, because if we take care of our emotional health and look after ourselves, doing so will help us take better care of our patients. The evidence is crystal clear. The doctors who enjoy good mental health and are engaged achieve better patient outcomes.